let's define a little bit what the Faculty of Missiology does. It comes from the word missio, right?
Right.
So mission to propagate the faith, and it embraces a broad spectrum of areas. Is that correct?
You know, when you enter the Gregorian, you see the figure of Jesus Christ at the center of the university, and Christ is holding out his hand, and many people think that's a teaching Christ, but it isn't. And then they say, okay, no, sorry, it's Christ blessing us, but it's not only a gesture of blessing, it's Christ sending us. At the center of the Gregorian is Christ sending you out, because the message of Ignatius is just chiming in or following up the message of Christ, which is you have a job to do, not a career within this cozy house, but a job to do outside, to bring your understanding, your discovery of my person and of my teaching, of my salvation to others. Only in bringing it into contact with other people, you will really understand and feel and bring to life what it means. So this go out gesture is really what we as the Faculty of Missiology
And as Jesuits, are always
trying to realize and to reflect and to bring to other peoples who want to join in that project of Christ. When I started as a dean of missiology, my first question was, how would you re-express what does it mean, missiology? And I said, well, it's theology in context, in the contexts of today.
Do you teach any particular strategies in this respect? Do you follow St. Ignatius in this itinerary?
Yeah. Sure, but Ignatius is not a man of the strategy. Ignatius is the person who says every human being you meet has a story which can become part of Christ's story, of the history of salvation. So the individual talents that everybody brings in, the charisms he or she has, can become part of the great story of God. So we have, since we are not a very big faculty, I have 40 students registered in the licentiate program, for example. Yeah?
It's a very international group of students.
We have 28 different nations studying only at our faculty, and we have 135 different nations studying at the Gregorian. So there's this great sense of internationality. But since we are only 40 students, I really can take the time, and my fellow teachers also can take the time, to look after these students and to help them to formulate their theology and to develop their way of testifying. We do not have one strategy, but we have a feeling and want to create this also in our students, a feeling of the challenges of the church today. And so we say there are two great fields which a missiological faculty, which a theology in context needs to tackle today, and that's a Europe that has lost its Christian identity almost. So what can we do as credible witnesses of Christ in Europe who are in dialogue with the cultures here, who are in dialogue with the challenges and also the ways of putting into question Christianity? And the other context is the plurality of religions. So many people of deep faith, but of non-Christian faith, of non-Christian belief. What would be a good answer to the questions they ask us? You know, if you meet a Muslim today in a street in London or Berlin,
or Rome,
very easily, they, Muslims, testify to their faith. They say, for example, a standard thing you can hear, you Christian do not accept Muhammad, but we accept Jesus. Why do you not accept Muhammad reciprocally? And the normal Christian doesn't have a good answer to that. So knowing how to testify your faith and, for example, say, if I accept Muhammad as a prophet, if I accept his message, I do not longer accept Jesus Christ as the unique savior of the world. So I cannot accept Muhammad in that sense, but I can respect your faith, your devotion, your search for God. That I respect very much. So having good answers, not learning them by heart, but deeper and deeper understanding your Christian message and life can help people to get into dialogue and into constructive dialogue with other faiths and other religions.
The Pope has just created this new council for new evangelization. In my understanding, it was more for evangelization at home in Europe rather
right.
than abroad.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes, yes, very much so.
Because Europe has changed to it.
Exactly. Alfred Delp, a Jesuit who was killed by the Nazis because he criticized the Nazis, wrote when he was in the Nazi prison, "Europe has become a country for mission." That means we need to re-Christianize Germany, for example, he said. This discovery has now really been received by the recent popes and by many theologians. We need to find new ways of announcing, offering, testifying Christ in Europe. So the new council is clearly in view of challenges for people who have already once heard the message of Christ's salvation, but who have no longer a feeling for what it really can mean in their lives to become Christians. And I think also the choice to have people in that congregation who are intellectuals, who are thinking through their own faith and the philosophies of today is a very good choice. So we are very happy to collaborate in that task the church has. As Benedict XVI recently said when he visited the Gregorian, the frontiers of the church are no longer geographical. They are intellectual ones, and we need the Jesuits to be there. So we feel very much sent also by the Pope himself.
So your world is a world of academia, yet you place the individual at the center of interest. You mentioned the word testify, no? So you're talking about witnesses. It's a two-pronged approach.
Yeah, yeah.
You learn from mistakes, but you also learn from role models.
When I speak about testifying, it is the central word that the Bible, the apostles always used, but it doesn't just mean I tell a story about my own life, how I experience this or that part of the faith. Testifying really means I have to tell the story of the salvation and I have to tell the story of our own failures. How you quite rightly say, the word we often use to speak about the faith, to say I have faith, is I confess. But confessing the faith also means I confess that I am too weak to understand it fully. I am too weak to testify to it in a totally convincing way. I am too weak to be really called the representative of Jesus Christ. But still I'm sent. So testifying also means testifying to your own weakness and let God work through you, even though you yourself are a broken container. Yeah? But the more broken, the better God himself can work and shine through you. And actually, there's also a third dimension of this testifying. Telling the story, admitting, confessing the weakness, and making people feel through the way you are, through the way you act, through the way you also react to your own and other people's problems, making them feel that God is at work even now. So testifying to God present, active in our lives today and making other people discover this. I think that's a very Ignatian Jesuit approach to mission, but I think that's the way we need to work today.
I'd like to get a little bit more personal. I read about you on the internet. All our sins are on the internet.
Very good.
You lived for a while abroad in a majority Muslim country,
That's
Turkey.
Right.
Would you say that the knowledge of other faiths and cultures contributes to a fuller appreciation of religion's traditions and literature, and therefore smooths the path to understanding, taking the edge off misunderstandings, no?
Very good.
And does this happen easily, in your opinion?
No, very, very good. You know, I remember once when I lived in Turkey, I gave classes for young scholars, Muslims, who wanted to understand their own tradition better and therefore wanted to learn German. So I was sitting with these young people in the class and studying very difficult German texts. And one of these scholars shows up and says, "Felix, you do this to make us Christians." I did not want to create an atmosphere where everybody thinks this is a missionary who only expects that the next question will be when I can be baptized. Because many people cannot discover Christ in that way, and still I want to have a relation of friendship with them. So I don't want to create any pressure or expectation that does not let people free. So I was embarrassed about the question, "You make this to make us Christians." And then he laughed and said, "You know, Felix, and I want you to become a Muslim. You want me to become a Christian, I want you to become a Muslim. Probably we won't be. Let's go on with our work." You know, what I learned from that story is I can live with a hope that other people discover Christ, but I cannot produce a pressure that makes other people feel he is unhappy, he is not satisfied, he will not accept me fully if I do not become a Christian. No, the liberty and the full freedom, also palpable in our contexts and contacts, must always be there. So I learned a lot, especially from Muslims, from my Muslim friends in Turkey, their convictions, their honesty, their gifts of friendship and generosity. And this still inspires me. And I must also say, when I meet Turks today, I always try to speak Turkish to them, not only not to forget my Turkish, but also to show them I really appreciate your language, your culture, and that creates a beautiful network. At the Faculty of Missiology, for example, we have a Turkish lady who's doing her doctorate, and we have another.
She's a Catholic.
She's a Muslim wearing the headscarf, and today she asked me, "Father, can I find a corner in the Gregorian University where I could pray?" And I said, "Yes. You needn't do it in a central hall. You will find with me together a discreet corner," and we found one, where she can beautifully pray without making her prayer a demonstration, but an act of devotion in her search for God.